your word. And we thank you that you just show us how to step out in faith, take risks, activate on it, so the world around us changes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so you know, Pastor Sherry, I love series because I talk long. So you actually like don't have to sit here a long time because I just chop it down every week. And right when I think I'm about to do the second part of my message, God gives me a whole new one. So you guys can open up your Bible. Hey, it's fun to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? Open up your Bibles. I have tons of scripture. Tons. So you might need to just write them down and go back. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 5 in the meantime. So I'm doing part four of my sermon series, which is called Hosting the Presence of Holy Spirit. And this is not, I love teaching on Holy Spirit. When I first came here, I taught on the youth for 2 years on Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you think all we do is just play games and have fun, first of all, if your kid does not have fun at church, we're not doing our job. But we do not compromise on the deep things of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts. So they're going to get fed. So join our youth group. We have, let's see, grades 7 through 12 every Thursday. Doors open at 6. And then we pray for your kids by name, like before 6 o'clock. So don't come early because we're praying for them. All right, so anyway, you are at Luke chapter 5. All right, so here's my setup. Because, you know, it's really easy to, what's the right way? Read the Bible for someone else. You ever read the Bible for someone else? That's so good. That's for them. But I like to intro and make it really personal to us because then we get a lot of compassion and we read the Bible differently. So I want to paint a picture and everybody just be honest with me and think back. But have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like you totally messed up your life besides me? Right, come on, just wave around. Like, I have royally destroyed my life. And I don't know how we're ever going to pick up the pieces. Come on, wave them. See, yeah, this is not a perfect person church. Nobody likes them. They're annoying. This is a church of really real people that we have picked up the pieces together side by side and rebuilt. And so I want to say this. Have you ever, after you feel like you totally messed up your life, hung your head so low just to avoid the eye contact of people in the awkward conversations, because you're like beating yourself up with like shame and negativity in your head, and you're just trying to avoid people pulling you into a conversation, the sheer torture of them putting their head at a 45 degree angle and going, so how you doing? You know, how's the family holding up? And I'm like, what are you gonna do now? And this is why we have walked into churches with our head low, because I'm gonna be careful. All right. You might have ever felt like you have single-handedly destroyed your life, even a relationship, not only with a spouse, but maybe a son or a daughter. And you're like, I am divorced again. Finally, I have failed another business again, completely imploded. How am I gonna tell my spouse? How am I gonna pay back the business loan? Another kid that won't speak to me. Fantastic. I feel like I've destroyed my career, my credit. Lost your house, went bankrupt. Yes, I am just casting a wide net, okay? You ever had a public meltdown or a breakdown? Especially at work, you know, because somebody on the worst day at the worst time decides to, like, cuss you out and call you a loser, and you punched them right in the face. And now you've lost your job again. Okay, can't pay child support. Fantastic. You know, and after a week like that, you know, you decide to hang out with the old party crowd and celebrate somebody's birthday, and a series of very bad decisions unfolded. Anybody else remember back in the day? Anybody else? A bunch of perfect people in this church. Okay. Series of bad decisions. Relapsed again. Had to give back the sobriety coin. Lied, cheated, feeling totally worthless. I'm painting a picture. You ever felt like you just lost everything? And I think the worst thing is when you feel like you've lost your family's respect. Maybe you lost your sense of dignity. Lost your sense of honor, and our head hangs low. Maybe we just did it to ourselves. We acted out dishonorably, and it's just shame, 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 and Satan's voice is just screaming in our head, and if we didn't need any help there, society is doing it too. And worse yet, stinky Christians, which we talked about before, with the self-righteous judgment, criticism, and the 45-degree head angle, so what are you gonna do now? You know, that stuff is not helping, and it just kind of adds to the shame cycle. Everybody understand the shame cycle? You ever been in a shame cycle? All right. You know, it causes us to push away from the presence of God, to not want to crack open our Bible, to not engage in worship, hang on the back wall, you know, just, ugh. Because the shame causes us to lose the sense of honor. And really what it is, we've lost our sense of righteousness in Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about this before we dive in. Okay, Romans 3:22 says this. This righteousness is given through faith. Everybody say through faith. In who? Jesus Christ. To all. Everybody say all. Raise your hand if you're in the all. All who believe. How many people here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he died for you, and you gave your life to him. That means I stand righteous. I am right with God, not because I have a perfect life, even when I mess up, even when I have single-handedly destroyed my own life. I am still right with God for one reason. My faith is in Jesus Christ alone. I never left him, and he sure didn't leave me. I am right with God, no matter how many bad decisions I have made. You don't lose your righteousness. Do you hear me? The day you got born again, you are just as righteous then as you are today, even after you've totally, how many people have a billion mistakes? Maybe I like hit every single one on that list, okay? Did you know the day you gave your life to Jesus, you were made right with him? I am righteous. My head holds high. I am his child. And every time you mess up, you are still right with him because I still have faith in Jesus Christ. How many people have really messed up, but you go, I still believe in Jesus. You're still right with him. You still walk right before him. You can still hold your head high. The title of my message today is Honor. And I want to kind of fill in some gaps before we dive in. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We didn't lose our righteousness. We just forgot it. Do you hear me? You didn't lose your righteousness. You just forgot who you really are in him. So no matter how bad you sin, no matter how bad you mess up, no matter how bad it is, and you walk into a room and everybody whispers. Have you ever been in a season where you think everybody's whispering about you? They may not be, but you have like so royally messed up that you like feel every whisper is about you. Come on, I have. Come on, all right? And as Satan messes with your head, but Jesus already paid that price 2,000 years ago. He took all of our mistakes to the cross. He took the power of sin, death, the grave, sickness, disease, shame to the cross so that we can remember what he did for us so we can stand up in the righteousness we have in Christ Jesus, stand up in the honor that he gave us and walk forward by faith in Jesus, right? So I want to talk today not only how you break free from that shame cycle, but once you do, because you got to get freedom, a sense of freedom from shame first before you can help someone else, right? You're going to have to learn to love yourself and forgive yourself before you can help someone else. So you better get it for you. That's why I had to paint this picture. I was like, you got to get it for us. Because a lot of people have sin and I shouldn't say sin. They have shame in their life and they're trying to help all these people, but they like haven't broken free that shame. So they're trying to help these people on the wrong reasons and it's just not quite working because they still need a revelation that I'm right with him. Okay. So this is how it ties in, and we're gonna dive in to even more scripture. So when we mindfully practice a lifestyle of honoring the presence of Holy Spirit, remembering who's on the inside of you, remembering whose you really are, you get to a point of honoring him, loving him, and you receive his love, and you receive a revelation of who's inside of you, who you carry inside of you, who Jesus really is, what he did for you. You'll fill up in his presence and get strengthened in your identity in Christ, right? Get strengthened in the revelation that I am right before God, even though I don't feel good on the inside, even though I messed up. Holy Spirit, I honor you. I honor your presence. I'm just going to take time and remember who I carry on the inside of me, what Jesus died for. Whew, I'm right with you. I'm right with you. I can hold my head up. I can hold my shoulders back. I can move forward. I'm filled up on the presence of God. I'm strengthened in my identity of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will give you honor to stand on. And then you can overflow with a supernatural ability called grace to see people not as they are, but as they're called to be. Did everybody just follow the bridge I just made here? Because there's a process. And you gotta get in the process, okay? when we can supernaturally receive the grace of God for ourselves, his love, his honor, his righteousness, it will overflow in this grace that to do something you can't do in your own strength. And you can give people honor that have none. You can give people honor that are completely dishonorable. You can see them not as the train wreck they are, because how many people yourselves were once a train wreck? But as they are called to be, and they are called to get a revelation of his sonship and the rightness they have. So the Bible teaches us a lot about receiving and giving honor. And I'm just going to do a crash course, because this is a teaching church, okay? Psalms 29 verse 2 says, honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. That means number one, step one, we have to honor him. We have to honor the Lord God. We have to honor him. He is the author and the finisher. He is majestic. He is glorious, the creator of heaven and earth. And this is this moment of taking time to reconnect your heart and honor the presence of the Holy Spirit. Honor his word. Did you know Jesus is the word made flesh? So if you just don't take time to read that Bible, we're not even honoring Jesus. He is the word made flesh. So when we honor him, when we take time to worship him with our whole heart, take time to reorient our lives, think about all my messages, to remember he is your first love. To take time to reverence him, we walk into worship. And, you know, in those moments, we want to get really distracted and be on our phone and kind of talk in the back. Just go, wait, I'm just going to take time. And I'm just going to stop. And I am going to honor and reverence Holy Spirit right now. When you take time to honor Holy Spirit and make space for him, you start making him the center of your marriage. You start making him the center of your friendships and those conversations and your relationships. Your life starts to transform. Okay, Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the best of everything you produce. The New King James Version says, the first fruits of all your increase. So we have to honor God with our best in every area of our life, right? So what else does the Bible say about honor? All right, 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. It talks about honoring church leaders. It talks about honoring those that lay their lives down for you. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Those who disciple you, lead you, guide you, give you wisdom. Do you know there are people in your life that don't have titles that do that in your life? And the Bible says to honor them. And that might be a ministry director, like where's Miss Heather? She's downstairs, she's probably teaching. She's downstairs. Honoring her, this woman lays down her life to organize and keep the kids' classes going and pouring into your kids. How many people have a kid that is getting poured into downstairs in the kids' ministry? And you are so thankful because they're sometimes having those tough conversations that they're like, yeah, they're backing me as a parent, teach me to honor, okay? So we need to honor those that lay their lives down and serve us, okay? All right, Matthew 10:41 says, if you receive a prophet as one who speaks from God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. If you receive a righteous person because of their righteousness, where does our righteousness come from? Faith in Jesus, okay. If you receive a righteous person because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. So what does this mean? I'm really kind of breaking this down because we kind of sometimes only think in title, but we don't think in the role they play in our life. We got to honor the grow group leaders. You got to honor that lady that has been praying for you and your family for 10 years, right? So when you honor those that are serving the Lord in faith, the key here is in faith, right? You will receive the same reward as them in heaven and also in spiritual blessings here on earth. Because, you know, they have a wealth to give you. Ever grow group leader where they're just like Joyce Myers? Man, Joyce Myers, I love her stories because she was like figuring out righteousness. And she is like just out of it. And she's like smoking a cigarette. And she talk about in her short shorts. And she's just like, I don't know. God made me right. And I'm just going to like figure it out. And she'd have a Bible study in her basement with women. And she would just lay out all of her mistakes and then preach Jesus. And what God, number one, not only transformed Joyce Myers' life, how many lives were transformed by that woman of God? And we honor them. Our lives were blessed and transformed. Okay. James 2:23, Abraham believed God and God credited him as righteous because of his, faith. He was even called a friend of God. Why do we talk about Father Abraham thousands and thousands of years later? Because he believed God. God, this is what you said. I believe it. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to mess up. By the way, Abraham messed up big time. Lost his wife at one point. Just made some dumb decisions. But I'll say this. We honor him because he was one of the first men of faith that created this lifestyle of just talking to God every day, walking with him, listening to him, and doing what he says you should do, and then talking about it when you messed up. His faith in God, his belief in the Lord made him right with God, and he walked with God as a friend. We honor him because they had a friendship with God. So I want to encourage you, blowing off people that have chosen to walk close with the Holy Spirit by faith, you're going to miss it. Do you hear me? Do you know there's those people that pray for you and call you and text you all the time? And you're like, I really don't feel like talking to them because my life is just such a mess right now. And like, they're going to want to pray for me and I don't really want to talk about it. You're going to miss out on a spiritual blessing because you know that they love you and they're walking right with God by faith. But that blessing that they have because of the sacrifice of their life to live in an overflow, to love you and encourage you, did you know when you receive them and honor them, you pick up the phone call, you answer the text, you don't blow them off at church. When you see them at Walmart, you don't like fake a phone call. I gotta go. I'm going to just honor them because God's going to speak through them into my life. And not only am I going to get the same reward, even though my life is a train wreck, but I'm going to honor them because they're a person of faith. I'll get that same reward and a spiritual blessing with it. How many people believe God? How many people have faith in Jesus? He wants to use you. He wants to use Joe Average us. Romans 13:7-8. Give to everyone what you owe them, what is due them. Pay your taxes. Oh, taxes. 30% of your paycheck. And government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those in authority. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So when you read things like that, you go through your brain and you think about those kind of people and you go, you know, some people are a lot easier to give honor to than others. I don't have time to preach it. Like I literally took a chunk out of my sermon to get where I need to go. But how many people know this? When God says to honor all these different types of people, there are some that are easier to honor than others. It's hard enough as it is to honor people that like are, you just don't like them. They're in authority. They're, you know, do-gooders. But their personality just rubs you like sandpaper, okay? I get it. All right, God, I'm supposed to honor them. But how do you honor people that have no honor? How do you honor people that have been dishonorable to not only you, but others and even in society? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Another part I had to take a huge chunk out of for the sake of time. Honor how many people? All people. We are taught to honor all people despite their actions, their dishonorable actions, or reputation. So what happens when you show honor to someone that doesn't deserve it and has been dishonorable? Sounds like a good scripture to me, okay? Jesus is the example of how you give honor to people that have no honor. And when you watch how he honors them, you're going to watch a miracle happen and their life transforms. And I want us to learn how to do the same. Because honestly, I think it's a key to a lot of miracles and a key of, how do I say this? You know, Mary Poppins, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. A lot of people want to preach at people. And they just rub their sin in their face. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Look at your life. You're a mess. You've destroyed your life. How's the family doing? No. Jesus honored people. He honored them and gave them something to stand on. And their lives started transforming. We need to learn to host the presence of the Lord, honor him so we can fill up and therefore honor people that have no honor. Honor people that you or society has like turned their back on and just kicked to the curb. But remember, we got to take time to do it first with him, right? Get our sense of righteousness in Christ. Identity is rerooted in him. receive that love and that forgiveness so we can get boldness, love, and forgiveness for people around us so we can see them not as they are, as they're called to be, and show them honor so they have something to stand on, so they can rise up and come to know the Jesus that you're trying to tell them about, so their lives can transform. This series, we're talking about how to host the presence of God and release him. Today, we're talking about how to receive the honor to give it to other people. Sometimes it's about looking and seeing what the Lord wants to do and partnering with what he wants to do with someone in the room that you honestly have no reason that you want to connect with. Jesus gave honor to those who didn't earn it or deserve it, and we need to do the same. Why? Why did he honor them? Because they didn't have any honor. You follow me? Their honor many times was stolen from them by who? Satan. You know, they just kind of had that weak moment and finally took the bait and just crumbled. Just relapsed, fell into the pit of sin and shame. So how do we reach him? Okay, Luke 5, 27 to 32. All right, this is Jesus and one of the tax collectors. His name was Levi, and he was later renamed Matthew. All right, so Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. This is it's one of the modern translations here. All right, so tax collectors were the famous liars and cheaters that stole money from everybody. Everyone united to hate them. It was like a thing. Like, you know, who do we all, you know, when you're trying to make a conversation with somebody, you just talk about someone that everybody else hates, you know, and yeah, drink to that one. He stinks. Ah. Everybody hated the town tax collector. So what did he do? He was a corrupt government official that would hike up your taxes, whether you were rich or poor, whether you're a widow. He didn't care. He'd raise your taxes, and he would keep the difference and line his pockets. So the poor got poorer. The rich got poorer too, but he was profiting from everyone. So he was someone that doesn't care how many people he hurt to get ahead. He was a scumbag. Those are the only Christian words I could, like, I was like thinking, what can I call him? Scumbag. I think that's okay, right? All right. Liar, cheater, stole from everybody. All right, so we're looking at Luke chapter 5, 27 through 32. All right, so let's pick up at, 27. Jesus said to him, follow me and be my disciple. Levi got up immediately, left everything behind and followed him. And Levi threw a great banquet for Jesus in his home as a guest of honor. A large number of tax collectors and others came and sat down to eat with him. But the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of their day, the hoity-toity that look really good on the outside, the people that society respected. It says the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus, to his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with such scum? I like this translation. These tax collectors and sinners. So religious hypocrites love to point fingers because it gets the heat off themselves. Because, you know, we all got junk. The Bible called them a bunch of whitewashed hypocrites. You know, hypocrites are mask wearers. They're doing the same thing they're doing. They're just hiding it better. They're actually the greatest liars and cheats of them all because they're just not being honest, all right? And they love to point the fingers out of pride and also out of their own insecurity. Because if I can get them talking about them, it'll take the heat off my scandal. So for some reason, religious hypocrites hate it when the church wraps its arms around the greatest scum of the earth and says, come sit beside me. Come to my house for dinner. Heck, I'll go to your house for dinner. I'll go to your house for dinner. I'll bring a pie. And you know what? I'm going to take a picture and put it on social media. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But it's something about like getting off the high horse and doing life with people. And it's not the us and them. Like, people can tell when it's us and them. Oh, I'm your charity case. Thanks. But they know when you, I just want to hang out with you. I want to get to know you. Like Jesus did. I'm coming to your house for dinner. All right. Religious leaders were afraid that this would tarnish their pristine reputations. And honestly, I don't know about you, but getting a little dirty and a little messy in life is always kind of a lot of fun. I honestly don't like hanging out with perfect people. I find them incredibly annoying. I like hanging out with real people that have real struggles and real weaknesses, and we can all lay our on the table like Joyce Myers did and just say, let's just grow together.
Let's just grow together. I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow me. We're going to figure it out together. But we're made right with him because we believe in him. And I'm going to walk with him every day as a friend. And when I love my friend and respect and honor my friend, I'm going to do the things that honor them. Right? Your life starts transforming. So all this gossip and baloney was going on in the background, all this criticism. And Jesus answers in verse 31. Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call the righteous people, but sinners to change their hearts and lives. So Jesus was this famous, at this point, he had a big following. Mobs were following him. He was the coolest man alive at that point. All right? He was doing healings, miracles. I mean, everybody was talking about him. Massive following, and everyone was trying to get time with him. And he stopped everything he was doing to personally seek out the greatest scumbag in town that everybody loved to talk about, everybody loved to hate, everybody. He didn't even need to judge him. It was like all over. Like everybody knew it. And he stopped what he was doing to give of his time, to honor him. And the double honor was he went to his house for dinner. Enjoy, and not like, well, I think you need a little ministry time. I'm just going to go hang out with him and love on him. He really needs. No, hey, I'm going to your house. I'm going to go to your house. Let's talk stories. You tell me your story. I'll tell you mine. Let's get to know each other. He went way out of his way to pour out love and honor on someone that was completely dishonorable, had nothing to stand on. He didn't deserve it. So what does giving honor to people that have none do? It caused Levi to stand up in a new place and receive, I'm right with God because I believe he's the Son of God. And his life started transforming him, and he became this incredible disciple of God. Got a new identity. Okay, Luke chapter 19. So, okay, blow ahead a little bit. Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. We're going to talk about another scumbag. There's lots of scumbags that Jesus loves. Okay, Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. So Jesus entered the city of Jericho, and he kind of is weaving his way through the city and the town, and there was this man named Zacchaeus. By the way, when I think of Zacchaeus, I want you to think of like a slimy, corrupt Danny DeVito, because like I just need a picture, right? Just like this little creepy guy, like penguin style, like just like creepy. You know, you get around me like, ugh, creepy, you know? Okay, so think of Danny DeVito right now. Okay, Danny, Jesus loves you. I hope you know him. You're awesome. You're an actor. I just need to play off one of your characters. Okay, all right. I don't know. I'm just trying to like, you know, they're real people. Like, you know, we really talk down about stars. Do you know they're real people? It's just all their mistakes are just plastered all over so everybody else can point the finger. Oh, you're so terrible, so we stop looking at our own lives. You know, people like to trash Lady Gaga and stuff like that. Jesus died for her. Jesus, like, literally died for her. He loves her just as much as he loves you. Real people, you should pray for them. And next time I was like, oh, what were they wearing? Just pray for them. How incredible will it be when they come to Jesus? So many people come to Jesus. All right, let's see here. Okay, Luke 19, 1 through 10. All right, there was this man named Zacchaeus, Danny DeVito, okay. And he was a tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich, okay. And it basically just says this, that he was the worst, he was the chief tax collector. I think I skipped that. So that means he was the chief sinner. He was the worst of the scumbags. He was the scumbag king. So, you know, if tax collectors weren't the worst, he had this reputation. And he's the most hated person in the region. And Zacchaeus, it says in verse 3, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was way too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass by. This must have looked ridiculous. I mean, this is a grown man. This is a rich, grown man, like Danny DeVito, you know? And he's like scrambling, pushing through the crowd, and he's like climbing up a tree, like ridiculousness. And I bet you everybody in the city, because this is the guy you love to hate, is like, did you see him? And they're pointing fingers and they're creating memes right now and like posting it online. Like he just became the next meme of the town. And everyone's just loving this moment as this desperate man humbles himself because he probably is so rich on the outside and completely miserable on the inside. And I just want to catch a glimpse of this guy that can transform anybody else's life. So when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus. He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Does that sound like a self-righteous, he needs me to minister to him? That is a joyful, hey, man, guess what, buddy? Zacchaeus, hey. So call him his first name. Not, hey, scum of the earth tax collector, you need Jesus, I'm coming over. No, hey, I'm coming to your house for dinner. I'm bringing a pie. or fried chicken, you know, whatever your thing is. All right. So Jesus went out of his way publicly, and he talked with him with love. Can you hear the love? Can you hear the joy? Can you hear this honor? An inclusive honor. You're good enough for Jesus. You're good enough for me. And there's no us in them in Christ, right? All right, so he closed that gap. And the public is watching and wondering, why is this famous, super holy Jesus that doesn't make any mistakes, you know, why is he taking an interest in this guy? Why does he want to go to his house and not my house? I'm doing it right. Why does he want to hang out with the scumbag and hang out with him and talk to him like an old friend? All right, verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. These things ruffle religious feathers. Why? Like, I gets the gossip flying. Oh, they're hanging out with so-and-so? They brought so-and-so to church? Jesus gave honor to those that absolutely had none, so they had something to stand on. So they could put their head up and find out he is the Son of God. Because when you're looking down like this, you just might miss Jesus. Because you're so self-focused. You're so focused on your own sin and your own filth and your own scum. And God's going to honor someone that doesn't deserve it. And it catches their attention. They look up and they just see this like total love. Total love and honor. Why are you loving me? Why are you showing me honor? Don't you know everything I did? I died for you. Let me show you a new life that you're worthy of because I said you are. Because I already paid this price. I died this priceless person, Jesus, to pay a debt that can never be paid. So you could stand up and look in his eyes and go, I am the righteousness of Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm right with him because he loves me, and I believe he's the Son of God. I'm right with you. I honor you, Lord. You gave me something to stand on. I now have a story that can bring freedom to someone else. God, if you can forgive me and you can love me and you can give me a whole life, there is no one else that you can't do that for. And they become some of the most powerful people that ever walked the face of this earth. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. And it starts with how we treat them, how we honor them. So, verse 8, I can't see, I'm sorry. Verse 8, it says this, it says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated anyone on their taxes, as if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give back to them four times as much. In receiving this honor, a totally dishonorable person that has no honor, they were a cheat, a liar, a scum, they took advantage of everyone. They received it and they had something to stand on and they became then honorable. Four times the amount they've ever cheated someone, they gave back. Did you know a community just changed? A community just transformed because they gave someone that had no honor, honor, and they had something to stand on, and they started doing something that Jesus would do. There is a fruitful multiplication and transformation that comes when we give honor to people that don't have any. It will transform your community. Zacchaeus didn't do this because Jesus told him to do it or made him do it. Something was restored to them. Jesus gave him back honor to do it with. Verse 9, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Remember the friend of God? A man of faith? So suddenly Zacchaeus, the notorious sinner and scumbag, faith in Jesus as his Lord, and now a friend of God. Son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost. Jesus was completely captivated by lost people that had nothing to stand on in life. Jesus gets all the glory when dishonorable people become honorable through the power of the gospel and God's grace empowerment to transform. So he went way out of his way to do this to people, way out of his way to find people that society didn't value, that society liked to point the finger on, that like tried to excommunicate and just blow off and just say, you're a hopeless cause. And that's who he was attracted to. So what would happen if we showed honor to those with mental disabilities? What would happen if we showed honor to the homeless and didn't try to judge them as to why they even got there? What if we just honored them because Jesus loved them. And he died so that didn't have to define them. Communities would transform. It's how we see people. It's how we interact with people. It's how we talk to them. It's how we give. Not in this charitable cause, but I want to honor you because Jesus died for you. And I love you, period. Not because you deserve it. I honor you, not because you deserve it. Jesus honored, oh man, he went out of his way. I don't have time to talk about it, but he honored kids because back then, kids are real cute now and we like them. But back then, it was a burden to society. It was a debt. It was something you financially just, it was like, oh my gosh, they have one more girl. Oh man, they got nine girls. Like, you're cursed. Okay, what'd you do wrong? All right. They were considered, like, back in the day, you know, I think if different cultures and back in the day, you ever heard, like, a grandparent say, well, back in my day, children were seen and to be seen and not heard. They you just would kick them away, you know. They weren't valued until, you know, they became a man or a woman that could actually work and, like, help you out, right, pay rent, all right. So Jesus would stop everything while everybody else was blowing off the kids and, like, oh, you're being annoying right now. And he'd stop everything and pop them on his lap and just show them love and honor. Do you know what else he decided to value and honor in society? Women. And just in case you didn't know, if you read your Bible, you're like, wow, a lot of things happened that changed on how women were treated in the Bible. At this point, when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, in society, women had kind of hit the lowest of low, where Jewish history, in the time in Jewish history, women were actually most oppressed under Jewish law. Did you know that at that point, you weren't even allowed to teach women the Torah, which was like the Old Testament Bible back then. You weren't even allowed to. They're not even worth it. They were property, completely oppressed. And Jesus, and why does Jesus talk about honoring women so much in the Bible? Because at that point, they had none. They were dishonored by society. You just throw them out like trash. You just, hey, a hotter one walked by. I just divorce her. I'll just get a new one. Jesus honored women of dishonorable reputations. So John 4, 1 through 30, we don't have time to read it, but go back and read the story. Maybe see yourself in that story. Maybe see someone at work that fits that description. So Jesus went way out of his way, like way out of his way, I don't have time to teach it, to a place called Samaria to minister to the most scandalous woman in town. The one that everybody's like, you know how many men she's been with? Yeah, you see that new boyfriend? I knew the last one. Do you know how many guys she's been with? They love to talk about her. And it was actually so bad, the gossip and the shame that was thrown on her, that she would go way out of her way to avoid all the women in town. So, by the way, it's like hot. It's the Middle East. So when you go get water, like you go walk out 30 minutes with your big old like jug, which is super fun. That was the woman's job. They would do it early in the morning because it wasn't hot. You know when she went? Noon. The hottest, most miserable time of the day to avoid the... Oh, yeah. You know who she's with now? Did you hear the story about why the last guy kicked her out? Once again, by the way, women were property back then. They saw someone younger or hotter. You know, you had a bad day, you gave him a little lip, kicked out, divorced, you're done, and your whole life has been ruined. And if you could just grovel just enough to get another man to take you in, you might just survive and not have to be a prostitute. You just try to get married as quick as you could. But society rejected them and shamed them. If the men that rejected them wasn't bad enough, how about society, how they treated them like trash? And then we rub it in by the gossip. Oh, and by the way, she was Samaritan, which the Jewish people of that day were super prejudiced against. So it was a racial prejudice on top of the social prejudice. Yet Jesus purposely went out of his way to honor her. And how did he do it? First of all, he uprooted rejection in her life and gave her, took away the shame identity and gave her a new identity. He restored value to her and purpose to her so that she could hold her head up, face the gossips in town. And he gave the greatest revelation. One of the first people he ever revealed himself to as the Son of God was the town scandalous woman. I'm using Christian terms. He went way out of his way. He goes, you are worthy to preach the gospel. You are worthy to tell everyone in the town about me so they can come to know me. And they'll remember you 2,000 years later as one of the greatest preachers in that city. He honored her and gave her something to stand on. And all of a sudden, she didn't care how many people she ran around town and interacted with, men and women. You gotta meet this guy. I met the Messiah. I met the guy we're all waiting for. Come here. Let your life be transformed. When we give people honor that have none, it gives them something to stand on so they can interact with a real Jesus, get their identity in him, and all of a sudden, their lives are completely just transformed. There's another woman. Let's see. This is Mark 5, 25 through 34. The woman with the issue of blood. So this is, we're not going to get really detailed, so think about it. She was hemorrhaging for like 20 years. And in that society, if you had a condition like that, you couldn't go out in public. So she was shamed, dishonored, and housebound. We were housebound for like a year. For some people, I have a sister in San Francisco. I have a best friend in New York City. I mean, you're locked. You know how bad that was for mental health? And can you imagine now society says you're dirty and getting around you is going to make me unclean and dirty. So you just stay in your house and keep quiet because you're a woman and you have this condition and you smell kind of, and you know, you're just blow you off. You're nothing. You just ride it out till you die. So this woman risked her life. We talked about it a couple weeks ago and crawled through a crowd just so she could touch Jesus's garment. And you know what he did? He stopped everything and honored her for her faith. And do you know how he interacted with her? Mark 5, 34. Jesus called her daughter. Did you know you don't have to be anything in life but a son or a daughter of God? You don't have to be gooder. You don't have to be better. You don't have to be perfect. Just rest and be a son and daughter. And he says, Jesus called her daughter. Daughter. This is the Son of God talking. 2,000 years later, she's remembered as a daughter. And it says, your faith has made you whole. He honored her. We're going to kind of go to a thought. And the worship team can, you don't have to go up now, but we'll probably just end in a prayer and a song. So the woman caught in adultery, John 8, 1 through 11. Don't have time to talk about it. So this woman caught in the act. By the way, where's the guy? Still seems to be the same in society. We haven't really evolved that much. And they drag her out, and she's probably just, you know, trying to hold on to a sheet or something like that. Shamed her. Threw her out into the court of the temple, you know, just so everybody can look at her and point the finger and feel better about themselves. Well, at least they took her to church. No, okay, like their motive was so they could shame her. Then they picked up rocks to throw at her. They weren't little tiny ones. They were giant boulders with the intent to crush her to death. And they were allowed to under Jewish law. And what did Jesus do? He defended her. He protected her. And he honored her. Let you who have never sinned before throw the first stone. And they walked away one by one. Do you know how else he honored her? He gave her a new life and a fresh start. Your sins are forgiven you. Don't define you. You are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You are a new person. Brand new start. Woman, rise up and go be who you're called to be. This is how Jesus honored people that didn't have it, didn't deserve it, totally blew it. He didn't care. He honored them. And he gave them something, a sense of something to stand on so they could come to then know him, give their lives to him. And I think they became the greatest preachers of this day because we're still preaching their stories. You know, we never really deserved any of this, right? None of us did. So let's stop thinking about what people deserve as far as blessing and honor go. Oh, you're going to put them on stage? Don't you know they just got born again like 3 months ago and I've been going to this church for 30 years and no one's put me on the, you know, on the stage on that one? Whoa, when did we earn anything that God gave us? We're all the same. Raise your hand if you're a son or a daughter. We are all the same. Did you know God does not play favorites? He loves you so much. Let his honor all people, all people. So let's stand up. And I think we're just going to take a minute to reconnect. Because remember, you can't do any of this unless you take time to reconnect. And what? Honor, number one, Holy Spirit. Honor him. And as just Brad's just playing his song,
I want you to just turn your heart and your attention to him and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving my life. Holy Spirit, I just honor you. You can use your own words. Holy Spirit, I honor you. Thank you for making me right with you, Jesus. I'm right with you. You got to remember who you really are. You know, that little intro struck some like nerves in some people. And I want to know this. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're a new creation. No matter how dumb of a thing you did yesterday or 10 minutes ago, if you cussed somebody out on the way to church, did you leave Jesus?
Nope.
You still have faith in him?
Yeah.
I'm right with him. I'm going to receive that. And now I receive your grace, Holy Spirit of grace, to empower me to now leave that in the past, stand up in the honor that you've given me, and now I will be honorable before you. I will now do what Jesus did. I'm going to love people, forgive people, lay my life down for people, and now I got so much love in me and a revelation of my righteousness in him. I got so much extra. I got now something I can give somebody. For that person that has been attacking you and gossiping about you and slandering your name at work, you can now walk to work on Monday because you took time Monday morning to fill up on him. Honor Holy Spirit in his presence. And now I have enough that I can love them and treat them honorably, even if they don't have any, so they can see Jesus in me and come to know him through me. God, you get all the glory as their life transforms, and mine even more does in the process. Amen. Father, we love you so much, and I just thank you. Thank you for your grace, and I thank you. You are showing people faces right now, and names are coming to mind. And as we drive past people, that we would stop to love them and honor them, not for what they've done, but for who you are, Jesus, and the life you called them to. And we will watch our community and our lives and our neighborhood transform. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys are so loved. Honor each other too. And I know sometimes we run out that back door because we have our best made plans. But there's a bunch of people that love you in this place and are people of faith. And if we would honor their time and their attention, there is also a double blessing in that. You are all ministers of the gospel. You all have a story to tell. Honor each other. Get to know each other. Have dinner at each other's houses. God will really show up strong. Amen. All right. You guys are dismissed. We love you. We'll see you.